Wow, praise the Lord. I miss that. I miss being in the presence of God. Didn't get to go to church much when I was in Florida, so suffering for Jesus as I was, but it's good to be back. I thank you for all the prayers. I could feel them. As I was talking with my dad, I got to feel them, and I was excited to be there, but I'm even more excited to be back. Weather notwithstanding, I'm glad to be back. You know, when I first got back, I wanted to jump right back in because I felt like I missed it when I was gone for the week and a half, and I appreciate Keith filling in, and I got to listen to him online. It was awesome. And how many of you feel connected to God's family, to God's presence? That's part of what God wants us to be, wants us to be connected, right? One thing that I noticed when I was away was not being around any kind of Christian influence at all when I was gone. I spent most of the time with my dad and my family. You know, they don't know the Lord that well or at all. And I got to feel like what it was to be totally void of any Christian influence. Or not that they're not nice people, but it just, the Christianity part wasn't there. And I realized how important the family of God is to a person's walk. If you've not been around in that situation and you're kind of pulled away from any kind of Christian influence, what happens to your walk? You become like you used to be. You find yourself kind of drifting away from God because you have no influence and no other ones to encourage you. And the one thing I noticed when I was down there was the lack of hope in people's lives. I got to spend some time in the hospital and talk to some folks that were there. And whether they noticed it or not, in their own life, you kind of sense a lack of hope on their part. Especially in the hospital where we were and dealing with, we were in the ICU for a number of days. And for a while, it was touch and go, and that's their life every day. People who work in the ICU and the ER, they see that every day, especially in Florida when, you know, the age population is high. There's a lot of hospitals, a lot of rehab places in Florida. And so they deal with that a lot. And the whole time I was there, I really never felt any kind of encouragement or hope from the people that were there. I don't know whether they're Christian or not, but it just felt like it wasn't there. And I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, you know, Jesus isn't walking the earth anymore in physical form, right? He's not here physically. We can't jump on a plane and fly to hear Jesus preach. We can't walk down to the river and see Jesus baptizing people or Jesus being baptized. Jesus isn't going to come to the Giant Center. He's not going to come to American Music Theater. He's not going to even come into Sight and Sound. He's not coming physically to anywhere we want to be. That is why God designed the local church, so that when people come to church, they can see and feel the presence of Jesus. How many agree with that? When I first moved to Florida years ago, the very first thing I had to do was find a church to be a part of, because I realized that all of my growth and energy and excitement came from being in God's presence and with God's family. We are Jesus here. When people come to any church, hopefully they sense the presence of God. They come because Jesus is here. Not physically, but the Bible says His Holy Spirit is here. You know, if you look at Acts, when the people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it first says that the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray for God's presence to be here, we want God's presence to fill this room and then subsequently fill each one of us. Now, we've been doing a mini-series. I didn't really think this was the title of mini-series, but I think we're going to go with this. It's I Dream of a Church. We started 2 weeks ago. Keith carried it on last week. Now, the question is, why this title? Why this direction? If we have the answer and the hope to people's lives and encouragement, we need to be at our best to be able to channel what God is doing through us. Do you understand what I'm saying? When people come into God's presence, they come to church, maybe this is their first time in church, maybe they've never been to a church. When they walk in, we want them to experience the love and the power of Christ. And we want the presence of God to be here. And so what we want to do is we want to be at the top of our game to be able to present that to people. Now, a couple weeks ago, we asked what you thought a perfect church would be like. We gave you a survey about what you thought about our church, things that we were doing well, things we needed to tweak and maybe improve. And every person, every family, every organization needs to do that periodically to make sure that we are at the top of our game. And in a church, any church, our dream church would be one where God, the Holy Spirit, is in control of all that we do. How many agree with that? That is what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to have His way in every situation. When people walk in these doors or any church, we want them to feel the presence of God. And we want to be ready to be able to show them the presence of God. Every area in our church, we want to be under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with that? Sunday school, youth, girls ministry, rangers, we want every situation to be under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. The first one was the first sermon, I Dream of a Church. That was a kickoff. That was like a foreword to what's coming these next couple of weeks. There are five areas that any church needs to have to be what God wants it to be vital for God's glory. The five areas of connection that we have, or the things that every church should be doing, are these five: connect, grow, serve, go, worship. The first week we did I Dream of a Church, what we thought the perfect church would be. Keith did the first one, connect. Now we're going to look at the second one, grow. Every church is designed to have each of these areas in place to be exactly what God wants it to be. Connection is important. It's vital. You need to be connected to a local body. You need to feel that connection with the people. You need to feel that connection with the Lord. When I was in Florida, connection was gone. There was no spiritual connection. And you feel what that's like after a number of days. I started to revert back. I started to not have the zeal and excitement that I have when I'm here in a church setting, because you're devoid of that. Connection is vital to continue our growth. People need to feel connected to something. How many of you have been watching that Leah Remini thing, that Scientology special that's been on? She's ex-Scientologist now. She's kind of exposing what goes on there. And you see all the abuses that take place, and you wonder, how can people get sucked into that? Well, the reality is everybody needs to feel connected to something that's bigger than them. And when people walk into a church, they come because they expect to feel connected to something that's bigger than they are. And we have to be ready to provide that for them. They need to feel connected to the people that are here. They need to feel connected to God. Now we're going to look at the second term, which is grow. There's connect, grow, serve, go, worship. The next one is grow. And the question we ask ourselves is, do we as a church provide the opportunity for individual and corporate spiritual growth? Do we provide that? Are we as church members taking every opportunity that's available to increase our knowledge of Christ? Matthew 28:19 says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Next verse says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now think about everything that Jesus taught. It wasn't just a couple of nuggets here and there. It was a whole lot of information, a whole lot of experience. And Jesus says, you're going to go and make disciples and teach them everything that I've taught you. We're called to not make converts. We are called to make disciples. Now, the word disciple literally means it's a learner. It literally means thought followed by endeavor. To learn and then to do what you've learned. If a person never grows beyond their point of salvation, what will happen is they will most likely fall away over time. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? Jesus talks exactly about that. Matthew 13, verse 19 says, talking about people who hear God's word, says, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away from that which was sown in his heart. That means we have to make it plain. We have to make what God has done for us plain to someone else so they can understand it. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, it lasts only a lifetime. In other words, he gets excited, he hears about Jesus, he makes a commitment to Christ, but that's as far as it went. He didn't study, he didn't grow into it, he didn't become knowledgeable in what God's word says, and over time, he fades away. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. How many of you have received grief from being a Christian, from either a family member or a friend? They may not give you grief, but maybe they ignore you or discount you. As a Christian, the Bible says this stuff is going to come, and we have to be ready and prepared to face it. Verse 22 says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word, understands it. We make it plain to them. They understand God's word, and they grow. And it says he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. We as a church desire to provide as much in the way of being able to grow and make disciples of everyone. It's not enough just to come to church on Sunday and that's it. Our mission that God has given us is to teach and to train and to prepare everyone with God's word. A couple weeks ago, we started a First Steps class. That's designed to go over the basics of the faith. We have a class for each age group on Sunday, classes for boys, girls, teens, and adults on Wednesdays. If you're not taking advantage of these, then you're missing out on what God's doing. God wants us to grow. We're not becoming the disciple God wants us to be if we're not taking advantage of what's there. Sounds like a lot. Sounds like we do a lot. And we do. But there is so much more that we can do. So much more that we want to do. So many more areas that need and deserve to be taught. There's always a need. Charles Stanley, he had a quote that says, if you preach to reach people's needs, you'll never lack for a congregation. How many specific needs are in this community alone? How many people are hurting today for whatever reason? Multitude of reasons. We as a church, we want to be able to meet the needs of the people. Now, we can't meet them, but the Holy Spirit can meet them. And the Holy Spirit works through us. But for all that to happen, we need mature believers to be willing and available to be what Jesus has called us to be. If we only take in and take in and we don't give out what we've learned, what happens? We dry up. We don't allow other people to benefit from what we've experienced. Now remember, the term disciple means thought followed by endeavor. What you learn is followed by doing what you've learned. If you're a disciple, then you will learn and then you will do what you have learned. The difference between last week, connection, and this week, grow, is this. Connection is about relationships. Having relationships is vital to keep people connected to God and to keep people connected with the fellowship in the local church. Grow is about belief and behavior. If you have belief, it's going to affect how you behave. If you have connections and relationships, but you have no growth, then you're only part of what God wants you to be. I thought about this example. How many have kids in school? And how many remember when you were in school? How many of you woke up every morning just, you couldn't wait to get to school? Or more likely, you were like, I hate school. Most people, or most kids, don't like school for the reason they don't have any friends in school. They don't have a relationship to go to in school. If your child hates school because he has no friends and no relationships, it's going to be very hard for him to learn anything in a class. If your child loves school because all his friends and buddies are there, but he's not learning anything, the school is failing its job. Both aspects are necessary for growth, to become a mature and successful adult. You have to have relationships that you want to go and you want to learn, and you have to have the ability, once those relationships are made, to be able to grow using those relationships. I always did my best in classes where I liked the teacher. How many of you had the same thing? There was two teachers I really, really liked. They were both women, you know. And they were both single at the time. But I really, really enjoyed the classes. Yeah. And I aced the classes. Now, yeah, go figure. But the other classes where I didn't get along with the teacher, not so much. Why? Because I had a relationship. I liked the class. I liked the teacher. I liked what we did. Because I had the relationship and because I liked the stuff, I studied and I learned. But the areas I don't have relationships and don't have any connection with the class, I didn't learn. Both items are necessary to be successful as an adult. And both of those areas are necessary for a church to grow and to be a blessing to those around us. If you have relationships in the church and you come because you have friends here, that is awesome. But if you're not growing spiritually, then you're missing out on the fullness of what God wants to do. The whole reason for church is to train and disciple and to make you into who God wants you to be. And this ties in with the next aspect that every church should have. We have connections to have friends and family. We have growth in our spiritual walk, which ultimately leads to the next step, which is serve. Connect, grow, serve. If we're only about relationships and doing fun things, but we don't disciple people, then we're not doing our job. We have a lot of things. We went to Mark's for pinball the other night. We had a blast. The women went out to dinner on Friday night. They had a good time. And those are great things. Those are all important things. But if that's all that we do, then we are missing the mark. Because part of that is to teach and to train people to become more than they already are. But on the same token, a church's ability to do its job requires each one of us to step up to do it. If you have a gift or ability and you are not using it to help others, then two people are missing out. You and the person who could benefit from you. Church was never designed to be a spectator sport. We don't come to God's house to be entertained. How many know that? You don't come to God's house to, in fact, true Christianity is not about what I can get from church. True Christianity is about what can I give to church? What can I give to someone else? We're not spectators. We're all called, every one of us, to serve in some capacity. I think every Christian, I think you all, want to experience God every day in your life. You want to have that presence. You want God to move in your personal life. You want God to move in your family And I believe you want God to move in your church. Is that a good statement? All right. Well, since God only works through people, and if we're not willing to step out in faith and serve, then God cannot operate. You know, if I didn't show up or Keith didn't show up on Sunday morning, you are not going to hear a booming voice from heaven preaching you a sermon. How many know that? If the worship team doesn't show up, you are not going to hear music from heaven leading you into God's presence. You see what I'm saying? God is not going to come in here and sweep the floors and vacuum everything if Judy and Brenda don't show up. Jesus isn't going to show up and teach your nursery class or your missionette class or your ranger class if you don't show up. We're never going to hear a word from God in our service if we're not willing to step out and speak it. But if we are faithful to step up and serve, God shows up. The Holy Spirit shows up to do work in not only our lives, but the people who are blessed by what we do. God shows up as you teach. God shows up as you play an instrument, as you sing. God shows up as you pass out a bulletin. God shows up. The Holy Spirit fills this place if we show up. God shows up if we are faithful to serve. We as a church want to give everyone an opportunity to use their gifts and talents to serve in any and every area of ministry. Maybe you have a gift or a talent that nobody knows about except you or maybe your family. And maybe you've been reluctant to ask someone about using that gift. Remember I said there's much more that we want to do, that we have the ability to do if we have the folks to do it. And maybe you're that person to do it. One of the things at our old church we discovered, at one particular point we had a string of deaths in our church. A lot of people died at one particular time. And most of them were men who left behind widows. And one of the widows stepped up and started teaching a grief share class. How many of you have ever heard of that? Grief share. After about a month, that became the biggest single ministry in our church. Because we were drawing people from everywhere. Not just our church, but people from the community everywhere. And it wasn't simply for widows. It was about anyone who has lost someone. And that place was packed. And it never would have happened if one lady didn't step up and say, I'll lead that class. We had a lady in our church who was divorced. And she had been through the mill, going through her divorce. But now she's on the other end of it. At the same time grief share came out, divorce care came out. She started divorce care. Packed the place out. It wasn't held on a church night, it was held on an off night, and we drew people from the community in. Again, because somebody, just a garden variety Christian, stepped up to lead it. And we reached many people with the gospel and with the hope that is provided in God's word, because people were willing to serve. One of the things your board and I have discussed over the past year is there are several areas that we need to expand on. And that's not even talking about the building so much. You heard what's going on with the building. Kind of, we're in limbo right now with that. But we can't stop expanding just because we don't have a building. How many know that? We can't wait for that to happen. When God calls us to serve, it's not always to serve ourselves. It's because God calls you to serve somebody else. And that means we are to serve our community as well as within. But that requires more involvement and commitment than we currently have. The board gave up a year of their time to go through this program with me because they knew that they had to give up in order to go up, to serve. And they gave up a number of Saturdays they could have spent with their family because they believe that God has something more for this church than we have right now. You know, I keep saying, and you probably are tired of hearing me say it, but I think we're right on the cusp of something that's going to be great. And I still believe that. And I was reading Luke the other day, and I read this verse. I've read it, you know, 1,000 times like you probably all have. Jesus has just completed his earthly mission. He's getting ready to be crucified. And Judas comes up. Luke 22:52. And I thought about this, and it says, "Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard and the other leaders who headed the mob. 'Am I some dangerous criminal,' he asked, 'that you have come armed with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day.'" And this is the verse that just caught my attention. He says, "But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns." I thought about that. The Bible says that, you know, the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And at this particular moment, Jesus was on his way and he was doing his ministry. The enemy came in to stop him from doing it. And he believed that by killing him, he would stop him from doing it. The enemy believes that by attacking God's people, he can stop what God's doing. Does that mean the attacks won't stop coming? No. But just like Jesus, even though the enemy has power and authority here, right now, he has whatever God has allowed him to have. But God still works through us in spite of what may come our way. Throughout the ages, God's people have always been attacked with the hope that God's work would come to a stop. It hasn't changed. The past couple of weeks, there's been this bug that's been going through everybody. How many had it? The best way to allow God's work to come to a stop is to affect the people that are doing God's work. Correct? And the enemy believes that if we can slow it down, we can eventually stop it. But the truth is, if we don't want him to, he won't. He thinks that if we're sick and defeated and discouraged, that God's work will stop. You ever feel discouraged? Come on, show your hands. Discouraged? You feel like, is it ever going to change? A lot of discouragement, especially for you guys with little kids, because it just does the round robin, doesn't it? One gets it, then the next one gets it, and they all go through. I'm thinking about you guys. You're coming. It just works its way around. And it's easy to feel discouraged. But I still am of the opinion that the more that we are being put upon, the bigger that God wants to do, if that makes English sense. The more we press on, the more God's work will be accomplished. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered because that was part of God's plan. But in the end, after he endured it, he rose. And God's work was not stopped. God's work kept moving on. I'm going to ask the worship team that they'll come back up. Now, all these things I've been talking about, they only work if you're anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever tried to do something without God's help? You think you have the smarts and the ability to do it, so you don't pray about it, and you think you can do it on your own. And if you're like me, it fails miserably. I believe that we're on the verge of something that is awesome. We've been working on this for a number of years, not just this past year. But God designs every church to grow, to become more than we are. If we have kids, we expect them to grow and mature. Correct? If they don't grow, then something is not right and has to be addressed. If they don't mature, if they're in fifth grade and they only know what's going on in first grade, something needs to be checked. We're on the verge of being able to accomplish something awesome for God. The question is, are we ready for that? And to be ready means that we need to be prayed up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then be willing to step out where we feel God is leading us to go. I've asked the team to play the Holy Spirit song. Holy Spirit, you're necessary. You're necessary to accomplish what God wants to do. So if you would stand, I'm going to ask them to close with that song.
Presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence.
Jesus told his disciples, it's necessary for me to go away. When I go away, you'll receive the comforter, the helper, and you will do greater works than I. Jesus wasn't talking about greater in power. He was talking about greater in number. Each one of us is filled with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, we are able to accomplish anything that God calls us to do. Anything. When the disciples heard that, they didn't believe it. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. Partially, I believe, is because they lacked the confidence in what God was calling them to do. But after they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they had that confidence. They had that assurance. Sometimes I think we lack that confidence as well, even though we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of us. We don't believe that God could use us to do something, whether small or great. Maybe we feel like somebody else is better at that than me. There's a saying that says, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. I believe that each one of us is going to be challenged in the near future to step out and do something that we may not be comfortable with. Things that are challenging to us to do. But I also believe that once we step out, God will unleash His glory and His power in this place and in this town. This church has been here 75 years. Not to celebrate 75 years, but because God's work is not done. And God has equipped each one of us. He's equipped this church to do tremendous things for the kingdom of God. Maybe you feel uncomfortable right now. that you're going to be put upon to do something that you don't want to do. I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to put upon anyone. We're not going to do that. But we are praying that the Holy Spirit does that to you. Because you can say yes or no to me, but I don't believe you can say yes or no to the Holy Spirit. Because He's going to keep bugging you until you do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are necessary in this place. The work of God is not man's work. The work of God is the Holy Spirit's work. No one comes to God unless the Spirit of God draws him. Our job is simply to be obedient to the person and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray that God really has His way in our hearts. You can hear me challenge you every week. You can hear stuff on the radio every week. That's all fine. But I want the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not left. The Holy Spirit is still the leader of this church. And I'm going to pray that each one of us is filled to overflowing with that Holy Spirit. And then when we have that filling daily, I know that God is going to call each one of us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. As we worship this morning, the majority of the songs were talking about the transforming power that God has in a life to change it. Happy day, Lord. Happy day when we became a Christian. When no one thought we could, you stepped in by the power of your Spirit, working through people, you saved us. Everything we have, all that we are, is all because of Jesus. All because of you. You transformed us by your power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing grace. God, you transformed our lives through nothing we've done on our own. Hallelujah. In Christ alone, we place our trust. Every one of us is here this morning by nothing that we have done. Your Holy Spirit, through people, have transformed our lives. And that same Holy Spirit wants to transform every life. Father, I pray that you would fill us. Fill us with that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that gave Peter the power to preach to 3,000, that gave the apostles the power to speak before kings and rulers, the power to see many, many souls get saved, the power to endure hardship when it came their way, and the power to see people's lives changed by what you do. We are your servants, Lord. Fill us with that power. Fill us with that ability. Open doors for us, Lord. Lead us in directions that reach this community, reach the people we know. You do the legwork, Lord. Just allow us to be there when your Holy Spirit is ready to transform a life. Father, I commit each person to you here that this morning. You accomplish what you want to accomplish with us. We want to be the church that is revived. We want to be the church where God's presence is known by everybody. When people drive by this church, Father, we want people to say, God's presence is in that building, in the people that attend that church. Father, I commit each one of us to you. Accomplish your will, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Let me know what God's stirring in your heart, because I know that He is.